United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Thank you for listening tonight to the first broadcast of 2025. The numbers to call in tonight, 503-225-0860. We had a well-deserved long-term vacation because we all had to mend ourselves. A lot of things going on with the staff, but we're doing fine. We just needed a break. It just seemed like it would be practical for us to take some time away. By the way, you can call us tonight, 503-225-0860. Okay, so here's the deal for the first episode of 2025. All right, let's suppose that a mainstream talk radio host or a mainstream late-night host on a TV show or whatever came on and said, here is a bulletin, 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 he'd say. And he'd say, this just in, vampires are real. Vampires, blood-sucking, revenant vampires. I think most people would just smile, nod, and awkwardly switch to a station playing Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. I think that would be or More Than a Feeling by Boston. But see, that's the thing. The vampire or the reptilian viper, if you look through history, okay, it's been the metaphor for the betrayer, another word for the devil, another word for a demon, another word for the anti-life characters in history, right? Going all the way back to the Vedas, going all the way back to the Upanishads, going all the way back to Egyptian emerald tablets of Thoth, all these things, the vampire reptilian viper persists and exists in the ancient world, and I'm sure that they are here in the modern world. Now this is where you smile, you awkwardly walk away, switch the channel, and listen to Boston. Or hell, why don't you just listen to Ozzy? I would say Ozzy. Anyway, now let's just erase the vampire word just for a moment, and let me talk about psychotic criminals in places of power, because that's what the terminology would be, psychotic criminal, or, you know, murderous, blood-sucking freak, or I don't know. I'm talking about government fiends. I'm talking about the criminal, darker element to the elite, the Bilderberg Group, the Bohemian Grove, the Council on Foreign Relations, and, of course, the World Economic Forum. And this year marks the midpoint for their blood-filled takeover. They want to have this all in play by 2030. So 2025 gives them 5 years. So they got to start somewhere, right? And there are many people that I've noticed now love their sovereignty. They love God, and they're fighting against the appointment of the Antichrist to the throne. It seems to be what they're doing. A lot of people are, because I think they're wising up. A lot of people are waking up and wising up, hopefully. And hopefully it's not too late, but I'm going to tell you this. Do not trust gifts from those who once persecuted you, and do not give up on your freedom just because the vampires wish to convince the sheep that the world needs an overhaul. We know that things are bad. Things have always been bad. But you know what? We can recover. We've recovered many times over. You look at history, you see how the recovery begins. But one thing that is consistent about the blood-sucking globalist vampires is they have an irresistible urge to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Their policy of hiding things in plain sight works as some sort of a psychological tool, some sort of a mental manipulation that they use, because what it does is it paralyzes opposition by instilling the belief in the inevitability of a narrative, in the inevitability of their agenda that they want to frame. And case in point, on the World Economic Forum website, it states in plain English, quote, "The geopolitical landscape is undergoing a profound transformation, giving rise to a world order that is both multipolar and multiconceptual." So the idea of a profound transformation, changing, shifting, is central to the Great Reset thesis. It's advocated by Klaus Schwab and all of his other minions who don't like life, who basically think you're all machines. And he has got an army, obviously, of a bunch of useful vampires that don't care about you. And it's rumored they do all kinds of horrible things to children. They do all kinds of horrible things to regular human beings. Some of them they don't see as human beings. They see them as just slaves or otherwise trash. And the question always, when you're bringing up vampires or the psychotic criminals within the power elite, people say, well, are they really globalists out there that drink blood? Do they eat babies? Clyde, do you really believe that these guys eat babies and drink blood? I don't know. Well, they've never invited me to one of their satanic blood-drinking, baby-eating parties. I've never been to one, thank God. But again, we can let predictive programming and the revelation of the method be your guide to unmask the shape-shifting reptiles as we approach the year of the snake. Yes, 2025 is the year of the snake in the Chinese zodiac. Last night, the family and I, speaking of predictive program, family and I went to see that gothic film that's out called Nosferatu. And I don't know what year it came out. I'm a big old horror movie buff, but the original was like 100 years old. It was a silent film. And the monster, the vampire depicted, was really hideous, looking like a rat. But when I saw the film, I was intrigued by how it appeared to be a metaphor for the Antichrist and how the coming of the Dark Count, whose name in this show is Orlok, in many ways triggers the thought of a powerful count or royalty or prince or king that is secretly a viper, secretly a reptilian, a snake. And very well could be, this movie, of course, very well could be a parable about people in powerful positions being bloodsuckers and those who are loyalists, those who follow these bloodsuckers, thinking, well, if I just do the same thing, if I suck the blood and drink the blood and beat the children and act like a psychotic criminal, I'll be in their court. I'll be able to do these horrible things, and they'll accept me as one of theirs. I'm a loyalist to their cause. I mean, if you see the movie, you know what I'm talking about with Nock, the character Nock, who, for those of you that don't know about Nosferatu, it was actually first produced as a film, and it actually was sued by the estate of Bram Stoker because it was a ripoff of Dracula. They changed the name, they changed everything. But, so we all know the story of Dracula, we all know the story of how it happens, but this is kind of a unique way, in my opinion, of demonstrating a metaphor to put the Antichrist on the throne, and how many people will give up their families, their money, they'll give up anything to allow this to happen. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. Zero. us. Numbers to call tonight. 503-225-0860. We are live, the first show of 2025. Live in 2025. You're going to get that a lot, aren't you? We're going to thrive in 2025. We're live in 2025. No jive. We're in 2025. I can hardly wait, guys. I really can't. How many times can you rhyme five? Think about it. It's going to happen. And you know it's going to sound stupid and we're going to feel really bad about it. But, hey, creativity in action. That's what we call it. Went and saw Nosferatu over the weekend. And it got me thinking. Even though thank you, listeners. The show came out in 1922. So it's over 100 years old, the movie, the silent movie that Murnau did. I think his name was Murnau, M-U-R-N-A-U, Murnau. He was German. Max Schreck played the part of Count Orlok. But now we have that Sarsgaard guy, the guy that played Pennywise the Clown. He's now Count Orlok and very terrifying in the movie. Nosferatu is based on the Dracula story. So if I talk about Dracula overall, if I talk about vampires overall, I'm not giving away any spoilers because, well, it's just the show has to be seen to be believed. Some people don't like it because it's too gothic for me. I thought it was dark. I thought it was foreboding. I thought it was scary. And I thought the sound in it was particularly interesting, the way they did all the sounds, the Foley experts and everybody. Definitely a good movie to go see. But Nosferatu, as I said, is based on Bram Stoker's Dracula. And it has different character names and an additional plague plotline, okay, which got me. This is the thing that got me thinking about where we are today, and there are a number of things that got me where we are today. There's a character that is similar to Renfield. His name's Nock. They call him Nock. And what happens is this guy who is a realtor or a guy who basically does the transference between properties in Carpathia, Transylvania to England has to meet with Count Orlok to secure his property in Britain. And so what happens is Nock is this guy that's his boss. He comes to him and he says, I'm doing this. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to be a rich man. Don't worry about it. It's divine providence that you happen to come in late today because I'm giving you this job. It's part of the plan. In other words, this is a divine plan. Everything's happened according to divine plan. The time is now for the Lord of the demons to leave Carpathia and come at a time of the plague. Basically is what the plot is, that there is a royal entity that owns property in Carpathia in Transylvania and has to come to England. He wants to buy property there because, well, you find out in the movie, you find out in the story because it's about Dracula. So Count Orlok is his name. He uses a pandemic to hide his tracks as he arrives on a boat filled with rats infested with the plague. This foul demon, Orlok, has the power to take over the minds of the vulnerable. Mythical vampires, when you look at them overall, the history of mythical vampires, they seem to capture a lot of attention. They generate interest like few other topics can. Mythological vampiric figures have been present across diverse cultures for thousands of years, particularly, well, interestingly enough, of course, is that the vampire seems to occupy a very curious space between life and death. It has been widely believed on different continents and across various cultures that at death, souls hovered about their dead body for 3 days. And in some places, that time span was considerably lengthened, and the vulnerable body needed to be watched to protect demons, evil spirits, spirit of the snake, the viper, from entering it. This would create a vampire. It's a reptilian. It's the idea of the reptilian soul, the reptilian part of the brain activating, the territorial part of the brain, the bloodthirsty part of the brain activating. Of course, well, part of this is widespread curiosity in vampires and how it's explainable with this mysterious place that they occupy between life and death. There are a lot of pre-scientific beliefs written by the alchemists. In fact, Paracelsus is mentioned in the movie. He's into alchemy and the occult and was very much into creating what is called the homunculus, which is something we've talked about before. But we'd look at the alchemists of the 17th century, and they wanted to cheat the death process. Okay? And in the process of cheating death, or what would be able to revive humans, or make them young, or make them live forever, would be the blood of the innocent, the blood of the young. Okay? So the vampire reflects these particular traits. both highly desirable and repulsive of humans. They desire the blood of humans, but they look at humans as repulsive. They look at them like ants or dogs or whatever. I mean, we love dogs, but I'm just saying, you know, wild dogs, okay? Make no mistake. I mean, vampire mythologies have been generated to water down the reality of a subculture that lurks in places of power. And what I mean by watering down the reality is that it's unbelievable, okay? The vampire is an unbelievable creature, something with fangs, an animal, something that shapeshifts, something that would be considered reptilian if you follow David Icke. All of these things makes up the shapeshifter known as the vampire. And that includes the idea of personality transformation, transfiguration, transmogrification, shapeshifting, and then the idea that vampires, even though they're weakened by light, okay, even though we know that vampires are weakened, and even in Nosferatu we see that vampires are weakened by the light, we're now seeing how they adapt and how they now can be seen in the light. All they have to do is what? Learn how to dim the sun. Now think about that for a moment. All they have to do is learn how to dim the sun. Darken the sun to make the planet cooler. Okay? And it's interesting that today, like people like, of course, Bill Gates, are now attempting to dim the sun in order to cool the planet. At least that's the excuse, right? We're dimming the sun because the planet is overheating and we need... Okay, really? Seriously? Is this what you do with this? No. Okay, I'll bet you, okay, if ancient vampires, like the ones in the 17th century, like the ones at the time of Nosferatu and Dracula, if ancient vampires had the patents and the technology to dim the sun in the 17th century, don't you think they'd even give it a college try? Think about it. If they knew how to dim the sun by putting up trails, chemtrails, or clouds, or making the sky white so that sunlight did not get in, so they could walk the streets unnoticed. Don't you think they'd give it a chance, give it a try? Isn't that suspicious? That if we do have vampires among us, modern vampires, that with the patents and the technology that they possess, they'd be able to control the weather. And how would they control the weather? By dimming the sun. And what did they dim the sun with? Fog. And remember, we had talked about in October, one of the first shows we did was about the cemetery fog known as miasma. There. Now, what has been happening, or what happened a few weeks ago, or actually a week ago while we were gone? Many people across the country were complaining that fog was moving across the United States, and everywhere they looked where the fog was, they saw these little pellets. They don't know what these little pellets were, but there were pellets in the fog, and they said the fog had a very, very sulfuric smell to it. People were alarmed about the fog. I would post stories about it. People say, Clyde, fog is normal. How's that creepy? How's that scary? Okay, yes, we know that fog is normal. Everybody knows the fog is normal. But when you have people saying that the fog that is supposedly normal has things in it that smell putrid, like sulfur, like eggs. Some even said ozone, and that's normal. But I'm just saying. And then you have cameras on this fog, and you see little things floating around in it, little fibers. It makes you wonder if it was a miasma of some kind. Well-planned, well-thought-out, to dim the sun by these psychotic criminals that would be considered modern vampires. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
That you did not die. What sweet music, like mine.
Take a blood of clay!
Boy, you serve the gods. I will command in this hundreds of years before you do.
Your armies were defeated. Your armies were defeated. Tortured. And impaled thousands of people.
As you walk through the land, look what your god has done.
He's haunting me in my dreams.
This creature has chained itself to your wife.
Impossible.
Its sole impulse is to consume all life on Earth.
He is coming.
Only you can redeem us.
He is coming.
Who's coming?
Nosferatu. I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight. 503-225-0860. Nosferatu in theaters. Good film to watch if you want to get scared. And it's very dark, very gothic type of film. And it's all the elements of a metaphor that I would believe is showing us that he's coming. And what they mean by he's coming is the demon, or the head of all demons, the incarnate demon. In this case, it's Count Orlok, but in reality, I think what they're telling us is that he is coming, meaning the Antichrist is near. And what I think is interesting is that while I was away, while we were on vacation, we had this story that was making the rounds on the internet and all over the news, that there was this thick fog that swept across the U.S. A lot of people in many states, including Central Florida, were saying, what is this? What I mean, fog is normal. Fog is natural, okay? And people know it, all right? And so what I posted, people were saying, it's just normal, Clyde. There's nothing scary or whatever about it. No, I know there's nothing scary about fog, only that it's thick and that, you know, you can't find your way around in it. I've been in fog before. I know what fog is. I studied meteorology. But this thick fog they're talking about is not what would be considered normal fog. It had a burning chemical smell in it, according to many people. A lot of people had flooded social media with videos, and what you'd see is you'd see that there were particles in the fog, unexplained particles raining down, swirling in the air. And a lot of people were claiming that they were getting sick after being in the fog. They were getting a respiratory illness. In Florida, okay, you look at Florida, of all the places, Central Florida. Some guy said that they stopped at a gas station for about 10 minutes, standing in the fog, noticing the little, whatever they are, little, you know, nanites or little dust in the fog, feeling ill, sneezing over and over again for about 3 hours, eyes puffy, getting a fever, stomach was cramping. Parts of Texas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Florida, and Minnesota were under fog alerts when the bizarre reports surfaced this week. They were told to stay indoors. When have you ever been told to stay indoors during a fog? Okay. Of course, the conspiracy theories went from there, running rampant, people suggesting the fog would be a chemical weapon. But hey, you know what? If you remember back in early October, one of the first shows we did for the Halloween season was a little show called Miasma. And people laughed and said, what's this about? About killing fog, death fog? Yes, exactly what it's about. And the reason why it was exactly about that is because I felt somewhere deep inside of me that this needed to be talked about. And I talked about The Mist, the Stephen King movie, about the creatures in the mist. But see, all of these stories about killer fog are based on old paranormal stories of what are called miasmas, the death clouds, hovering above Gothic cemeteries. The generated miasma allowed creatures to cross over from spilled portals, When portals are open, strange fogs would appear. And they would come into the human realm. And due to the thickness of the mist, it made it almost impossible to watch these things coming through. What were they trying to block? And what were they using to make people sick? You see, the fog would be used by these, whatever they were, to hide their arrival. And so there's something called a miasma theory we talked about. Miasma theory, basically a medical theory back in the times of Dracula, a medical theory that held that diseases were caused by a poisonous, foul-smelling air called a miasma. They called it cemetery air. Rotting organic matter. Diseases. Poisonous mist with particles. Foul-smelling air. Miasma. The concept where a ghoul-sent disease or plague will befall a community due to the unatoned murder, essentially acting as a divine punishment for a crime, often impacting an entire city, even if only one person was responsible and hadn't undergone proper purification rituals to cleanse their guilt. And believe me, throughout the entire film of Nosferatu, there were rituals being done. Some were considered satanic, some were very dark religious, but it was very uncomfortable to see how the superstitious of the time of the 17th century, people would do these types of rituals with the dead. I mean, there are things that compel us to wonder what is going on. The miasma, if you will, the idea of a miasma. We warned you that it was going to happen. We've experienced miasma. There are odors associated with it. There are some that say they have a distinct odor of sulfur. Some say rotten eggs. Others say it's a sweeter smell like rotten vegetables, manure. People are saying it smelled like burning plastic. Go down the whole list of what it could have been. You see miasmas during ghost investigations. All of these theories originated in the Middle Ages, around the time that we see the setting for this movie, Nosferatu. Again, we have to ask ourselves if this is predictive programming and if they're setting us up for something. So we already have our plague-filled fog. All right? We have the drones that were over rural areas of New Jersey. We now have the first man to die of bird flu in Louisiana. The plague is about to start again. And how does Count Orlok hide his tracks? With a plague. He hides his tracks with a plague. So people who say, oh, he died of this blood disease, they don't equate it with the vampire. They equate it with the plague. And you tell people, but vampires are responsible. Oh, no, they're not. But if you say psychotic killers and psychotic criminals are responsible, maybe they are. Maybe they're dimming the sun. Maybe they're putting this product out in this, like sea spray in San Francisco, where they gave people that disease. Serratia. We talked about that too. No wonder people were weirded out by this. No wonder people, I mean, it's just difficult to even enunciate here just how weird it's been since we took time off. Oh, there's more to come, believe me. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. Something that happened while we were away. the death air, the night air. You know, Louis Pasteur was one of the first to identify this, saying that some fog is unexplainable, that it has particulate in it, and we don't know what that particulate is. Basically, he said it was associated with blight and decay, both figuratively and spiritually, he says. And, you know, and I told a story, one of the scariest stories ever dealing with this night air, fog, whatever it is. There was, back in 1986, there was an incident of death air, miasma, CO2, suffocated an entire village. A large cloud of carbon dioxide erupted from a lake. It's called Lake Nyos. It's in Cameroon, Africa. It suffocated 1,700 people and 3,500 livestock in nearby villages because of the fact that something happened in this deep lake that was near there. There was an eruption where the floor of this lake or whatever it was basically dissolved carbon dioxide into the bottom, and it all bubbled to the top, releasing this gas. So this carbon dioxide erupts from deep lake waters, forming a gas cloud, and asphyxiated wildlife, livestock, and humans. And volcanic activity, earthquakes, things like that can do that as well. It can release CO2, and that CO2 could just completely suffocate an entire area. Because it displaces the water, displaces a number of things, it displaces the earth, and there are gases that can be emitted from that. But of course, miasma events can be attributed to chemical warfare, biological warfare, and it may be that we're having something like that. I'm not saying it's true, I'm not saying it is, but now we have the synchronicity of a man in Louisiana, of all places, now dying from bird flu. And they say that the bird flu mutated, killing him. I'm sure he had plenty of morbidities that would cause this to happen because, again, I had said that the zoonosis between an animal, like birds and cattle, spreading a disease to a human is rare, especially something like this. So we now have, and we've identified, the possibility of a plague or another pandemic to cover the tracks of the insurgence of the vampires. And again, vampire, metaphorical, hypothetical, to pretty much identify what we call psychotic criminals, psychopathic criminals in places of power. Much like we hear about from the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, Centers for Disease Control, UN, Bilderberg, all these groups gathering together. They just gathered together. In fact, NATO, one of the former NATO representatives now heads up the Bilderberg group. They want to keep it within their hole here. They want to be able to have an army of these vampires. They want to take over the world, okay? So the idea of divine providence is spoken of in Nosferatu. The idea of some great, powerful king, some great, powerful prince or count is waiting to take over, ready to take over families, ready to ruin relationships, ready to get rid of the economy. It's back, okay? It's back, and we need to fight. Let's go to Isaac in Connecticut. Hey, Isaac, been a long time. Thank you for calling the show.
How you doing, Clyde? So I just calling because I heard you say carbon monoxide.
No, carbon dioxide. It was carbolic acid that came out of the water, and the entire cloud of carbolic acid killed those people because it was loaded with carbon dioxide. Yes, carbon dioxide. If there's a large amount of it, can suffocate.
Concentrated. If it's concentrated enough.
Yes,
I know it sinks to the lowest level, and if you're in a valley,
right?
You know, and
but they weren't in a valley. They were in an area where it was flat. The lake,
yeah.
The floor hit the bottom. It released carbolic acid. The entire lake was completely destroyed with carbolic acid. In fact, I think I was reading the other day that the carbolic acid's still there. There's nothing that lives in that lake anymore. but it created enough concentrated carbon dioxide to suffocate an entire village.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't driving, I would have just researched it myself. But I said, let me call him, because I thought it would have been carbon monoxide.
No.
Because carbon monoxide is the silent killer. But
have you ever heard the horror story about the guy who was having a Halloween party, and he thought it'd be cute to get a dump truck? He was a rich guy in California. He thought it'd be cute to get a dump truck and dump dry ice into the pool so everybody would be in the pool, and the pool would be boiling. And yeah, he killed half the people in the pool. Because of they all inhaled carbon dioxide and died. They suffocated.
Yeah, because that's what, when that breaks down, ice melt, that dry, it makes carbon dioxide. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's good to have you guys back, and hopefully.
It's good to be back because we like to bring, interesting talk radio back to 2025. That's what we're trying to do here.
I look forward to it. It makes my, when it's a rerun, it's okay, but it's not the same,
You didn't experience any fog in Connecticut, did you?
No, I mean, we had some fog, but I didn't, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary, right. The weather's been kind of mild around here.
That was mild. It was mild here today. We were up to like 55 degrees. Blue sky.
Oh, wow.
It was weird. That's one of the things I like about the climate here is it can surprise you in January. I have a feeling, though, that with all the wetness we had a lot of water seeping into our floor and stuff. I think we're going to have a big major snow probably in the next month or so. But, yeah, it was hard to believe it was January at all. But here's the thing is that I would love to hear from people tonight if they're listening that experienced that fog. Because I want to know exactly, how they sensed it. Because a lot of people experience fog. Yes, like you say, it's normal fog and it doesn't bother them. But I was seeing the video of those particulates in the fog. I mean, people telling that it smelled like garbage. It smelled like manure. It didn't smell right. And so, and the thing is that it got me because I was thinking, well, in October, one of the first shows I did was about the miasma. The death air, the night air, or the cemetery air is what they call it. It comes from the putridity and death. And it makes people sick. And it's something that has been part of, like, The Mist by Stephen King and The Fog. John Carpenter, I think, did The Fog. But it's just the story of there's something strange going on with the atmosphere. There's something strange going on with the weather. And the fog is the culprit. Makes people sick. Makes them ill.
Yeah, well, I'm in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and New York just about every day. So, if I listen. Anything out of the ordinary, I'll definitely let you know.
Yeah, let me know. I appreciate that. Thank you, Isaac, for calling the program tonight. 503-225-0860. Yes, I'm opening up for discussion about this fog, and we're going to talk more about the metaphorical vampires. Nosferatu was in the theaters. I saw it with my family over the weekend. It really touched me because I saw predictive programming and the revelation of the method, and I believe it's about the arrival of the Antichrist. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. Let's face it, guys, we're living in times where the truth is becoming more suppressed and censorship is increasing at an alarming rate, especially on social media platforms. It's Clyde, and I want to tell you about a safe and secure digital playground we put together just for you. It's aftermath.media. You get access to thousands of Ground Zero archives and podcasts, along with our private social media groups with your basic membership starting at only $7 a month. Each subscription includes tech support, access to the RSS feeds, along with our own chat room and Telegram channel. In addition, the premium membership includes research study groups, webinars, a document and movie library, a live video stream of Ground Zero, a monthly Zoom chat with me, and other bonus content. Be sure to check out our yearly specials as well. Sign up today while you're thinking about it. Sign up at aftermath.media. Again, that's aftermath.media.
Spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
see me." The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. This is the first broadcast of Ground Zero 2025. We are live. 2025. Anyway. And what a great time to talk about metaphorical vampires, or real vampires if you prefer, psychotic criminals within high places that basically are waiting to take us out in the new year. As I said, my family and I went and saw Nosferatu, which was an interesting film. In fact, I see it as revelation of the method about the Antichrist. And if you see it, you'll understand why, because it's all about these people who are aware saying he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He just happens to be this very, very well-known prince and count named Orlok. And it just is certainly a parable for our time when we're looking at the possibility that blood-sucking vampires that exist in world totalitarian government groups like the World Economic Forum, the Bilderberg Group, and others, they're plotting their vampiric nature on all of us. All you need is a few signs. All you need is a few symbols and a few things to look at to understand that it's happening. Okay? I just recently was discussing the fog, the weird fog that people said they were experiencing, which is similar to the death air or the night air that was we talked about at the beginning of October with miasma. You can go back and listen to that show on aftermath.media if you didn't get to hear the show. But those of you that did hear the show understand that a lot of people said, why are you talking about this? What does it matter? I'm not afraid of fog. Well, a lot of people are now. They're afraid that it made them sick. Okay? They're afraid that it's done them wrong. Saying that this fog that was all over the United States was something that smelled like garbage or manure or sulfur or eggs or something. And I just thought that was it was significant. And there's another thing that's significant about this whole idea of vampires. That is a dream I had the other night. And I don't really talk about my dreams, but this dream was very significant. I told my friend about it the minute I had it because I thought, this is such an epiphany after I came out of my dream. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the deal. All right, so I was watching. I was I've been binging the show Fringe, which is a really good science fiction show. I was able to binge it because I have the in my queue on my TV. I can watch old shows. So I was watching Fringe and I fell asleep during one of the episodes. I mean, fifth season, kind of, you know, wasn't all that great, but it's great anyway. So here I am sleeping and I'm falling asleep and dozing on the couch. I had a dream and it gave me an epiphany. In the dream, I was watching TV and I was a kid and it said on the TV, MTV 1983. And of course, you know, you have the familiar MTV logo. And then you have the astronaut coming down and putting the flag down. You know how MTV was when we were kids. So I see the words MTV 83, familiar TV logo of the astronaut coming down on the moon, and then a video played, okay? Now, this video was a song that I don't know if anybody knows. It's very obscure, but I'm going to play it anyway, just a little bit of it. It's called Bauhaus, Bela Lugosi's Dead.
The bats have left the bell tower. The victims have been bled by velvet lines. The black box, Bela Lugosi is dead. Bela Lugosi is dead.
Very creepy song. Okay. And, you know, back in the day, when I was so goth, I was almost dead, I used to listen to Bauhaus. Okay. Great band. Very, you know, very, very, very gothic band. And there were a few gothic bands out there that I listened to. But anyway, Bauhaus, Bela Lugosi's Dead, was playing on this MTV, in this MTV dream I was having. It was playing that. All of a sudden, the song ends, right? Martha Quinn is in my dream. You know who Martha Quinn is. She was the VJ, one of the VJs. Her and I met Nina Blackwood once at a party, but I never met Martha Quinn. So Martha Quinn comes on after and she says, "That's Bauhaus on MTV with Bela Lugosi's Dead." And then she made a joke. Now you know why they want to dim the sun. That's Bauhaus on MTV with Bela Lugosi's Dead. Now you know why they want to dim the sun. I woke up. I went, whoa, whoa. I woke up thinking, wow, we have always wondered if there are vampires in places of power. But the question has always been, how is it they're going to identify themselves? How is it going to go out in the sunlight and not hide anymore? They have found a way to do this. It's called dimming the sun. It's called climate change. They make up this thing about climate change, giving an excuse to block the sun so the vampires can walk among us without any problem. Of course, hypothetically, unless you really believe in vampires. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't been invited to one of their satanic parties. I've never seen anybody eat children except in the movie this last night. Very terrifying. Liam and I commented about it. They just don't hide it anymore, okay? Because they have found ways through propaganda to accept their various pandemics, their plagues, their bloodletting, their climate change, all using things like biowarfare and terrorism. We're arriving at what is called the dark time of the year, and vampires see this as their time. This time is their time. Imkepiru. Imkepiru. Imkeperu. Imkepiru. It's a holy day for vampires. This whole time, the darkness. All happening after Samhain, when the rite of the Sekhemu is most often performed. It's a festival. Imkepiru is there to usher in the dark side of the year, a time when the powers of the vampire wax greatly and their sense of who they are heightens significantly. The day of the double power, the rise of the metaphoric vampire. 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. So I'd like to thank Mark for sending a listener submission of some of the fog. He even captured some of what he calls the particle and how it smeared across the glass, leaving behind a film, a strange film. It's interesting. I was looking at these pictures. The miasma, night air, as we talked about, very, very shocking. Okay. The same idea as using this fog, using like Operation Sea Spray in San Francisco with a serratia that made people sick. The same thing going on, blocking the sun, dimming the sun. I had a dream about this, okay? That, you know, Bela Lugosi's dead, the virginal brides leap from their tombs, bloodletting, all this stuff. Martha Quinn saying, hey, it's Bauhaus and Bela Lugosi's dead. Now you know why they're dimming the sun. Because we have vampires in power that are doing this so they can walk among us, so they can adjust the temperature of the planet so they can live among us better, so they can be seen without being revealed. Again, this is metaphorical. Wink, wink. Let's go to Jack in Colorado. Hey, Jack, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, how you doing, man?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, I just want to tell you this, something really weird this weekend. I live in Denver, and I was working a job in Colorado Springs this weekend, and it's about a 45-minute drive back and forth, pretty wide open. Anyways, I was leaving my job that night really late, and it was just really foggy out. And so I got in the car. It was really cold, so I turned on the defrost, you know, and sitting there waiting for the window to clear up. It never cleared up, and it's warm. Like, what the hell's going on? So anyways, I turned on my wiper, and when I turned on my wipers, it just completely left this white smear. I don't know how to explain it, like smear creamy coating all over my window. And so I cleaned that off, took a couple times to clean it off. Anyway, got on the highway to drive back to Denver. And again, it's late at night, and it's real foggy. And all of a sudden, I started smelling like a bad sulfur exhaust smell from a truck.
Yeah.
Well, there's no truck around. Anyways, that smell lasted for about a good 15, 20 miles until I got back into the city and the fog started to lift a little bit. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. Something weird's going on.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, look, you know, people experience fog. It's just a normal part of winter, right? It's because we have rain or snow that saturates the ground and the cool air comes in and lifts it up into a mist. We know this. It's just the way the weather is. But when people say that this mist is very thick, contains little particles, and then smells, that's not a typical fog. That's something else.
Absolutely.
And so people, it reminded me of the cemetery fog or the miasma fog that we talked about in October that dealt with. I thought it was a terrifying thought because one of the movies that really scared me when I was recovering from cancer was The Mist. I watched that show and I was completely I was a beautiful movie about opening a portal to the other side and having the fog come in, bringing monsters with it. It was just an interesting show. So I really appreciate your call, man. I mean, what if all of these things are together? Are we connecting the dots? And if the dots connect, like I say, we reverse engineer everything to see if it fits. And when you look at what time of the year it is, it's the vampire time, actually. It's Im Kippur, the holy day for vampires, the holy night of vampires, around Saturnalia, the festival, Im Kippur, the dark side of the year, the time when the powers of the vampire wax greatly and their sense of who they are heightens significantly. It can be said that it is the day of double power. It's a day where the vampire is poised on the threshold of many things. The energies of these holidays thin the veil between the living and the dead. So Nock, this character in Nosferatu, he's this fiendish servant of Count Orlok, and he says in Nosferatu, it is a time of providence. It is a time of providence, divine intervention. In the ancient writings of the alchemists, there's a very important connection between the vampire and the Nephilim. And if you believe the word of the Bible in the history of the Old Testament, the small mention is in the sixth chapter of Genesis, where these giant titans, been fallen from grace, are the key to tracking the history of the rise of the vampires. As in the film Nosferatu, the vampire Orlok, Count Orlok, a very powerful count, appeared and used the plague as a cover. It was an attempt at biological warfare to hide his feeding. He had to feed, but he needed to have an excuse as to why the people were dying and having strange boils on their bodies. It's a bit coincidental that we're also being threatened right now with plagues like COVID and bird flu that hide the treachery of the modern vampires among us. They can record and document that foul, that, you know, what they do is they get the DNA, they mess with the DNA, they try to find the foul blood and they harvest it, and then they come after those with the purer blood to feed on their bloodlust. It's only a theory. In fact, a modern causation of blood libel exists against the elite because it's supposed that they drink the blood of the innocent in a potion known as adrenochrome. It's part of their goal to live forever, as they believe the blood of the innocent children or the adrenochrome of the children has the power to transform them into having more youthful appearance. It's the key to eternal life, in the fact that there is another movie also that apparently Demi Moore got a Golden Globe for. It's called The Substance. Has anybody seen that film? The Substance. It's this mysterious substance, which is obviously a metaphor for young blood or adrenochrome. Because the idea of the vampire, the eternal youth, often involves selling one's soul or their blood in a Faustian deal with the devil. On a spiritual level, one can argue that unnaturally reversing the aging process means going against God's will. The quest for youth gets darker when one understands that it nearly always involves extracting blood or other fluids from younger specimens to be injected into the older ones. Throughout history, sadistic practices involving blood, sacrifices, and cannibalism have always been something where they preyed upon the potency of the blood of the youth. I mean, there are people who invest in this, like Peter Thiel and others, investing in this type of, you know, young people donating blood to their fathers and their mothers to keep them young. I mean, remember the story, I mean, again, 17th century vampire story, Elizabeth Bathory. She was a Hungarian noblewoman. She was the blood countess. She basically dabbled with the concept of bathing in blood. She was very obsessed with her looks. She was jealous of younger women. Elizabeth Bathory abducted hundreds of virginal women, tortured them, extracted their blood in order for her to bathe in it. And she would also consume it, too. And it was part of a satanic ritual, a theistic satanic ritual offering the blood for the further life, eternal life given to Elizabeth Bathory. Think of what we've been hearing about in modern society right now. All we hear of sex slaves on Epstein Island. We hear about the freakout parties for P. Diddy, right? Freakout parties where young girls and boys are exploited for sex and many other children that go missing, never to be seen again. I don't know if you've read about the freakout parties, but they were hideous. They had to give oxygen and adrenaline to some of the women because they kept them basically, well, I don't want to go into detail because it's too creepy to even think about. But here we are, you know, the world, their world is basically, they go to the young and they say, hey, this is what we're offering you. It turns into a charnel house. I mean, it really makes you wonder if we're living among truly empowered vampires, theistic Satanists who wish to usher in the Lord of Death and power, just like Nosferatu. Adrenochrome is said to be consumed by the occult elite to preserve their youthfulness. It's most potent when it's extracted from young children. Adrenochrome is believed to be farmed in underground facilities where victims are detained, abused, and tortured. Chillingly enough, some claim that adrenochrome levels spike in children while they're in a state of fear and terror. That's sick to think about. Are there really vampires among us? Really, really a big argument for it. What do you think? 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
troll back into his mother's womb. We have not become so much enlightened as we have been blinded by the gaseous light of science.
He is calm.
I do know.
He speaks to me.
I have wrestled with the devil as Jacob wrestled the angel of Bengal. And I tell you, if we are to tame darkness, we must first face that it exists.
We are here encountering the undead plague carrier.
I've never shared my secret with any soul.
You've had these spells since childhood. Tell me what you can from the beginning.
This creature is a force more powerful than evil. Its desire is to consume all life on Earth.
Only you can redeem us. He is coming.
There is a devil in this world, and I have met him.
But you could never please me as he could. I'm ready.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. He's coming. Not Count Orlok, the Antichrist is coming. The great vampire, the demon of all demons, is coming. And I believe that Nosferatu is a way to create the Revelation of the Method, the movie. Because it's made it was made in 1922 and now remade, and you know, over a 100-year-old movie being remade. And it was just like everyone who was into the occult knew the Dark Lord was coming. And they would say, he's coming, he's coming. Who is coming? We find out who comes into the world. And it all is about hiding the tracks with a pandemic, hiding the tracks with a plague, sucking the blood out of the innocent, drinking the blood of the children, of the women, making them sick. And now we have all of these things happening that happened in this film. We have the fog, we have the plague, we have a guy that just died from bird flu. They're trying this again, you guys. They're trying to do this again to cover their tracks from the last pandemic that they had. And of course, like I said, the new blood libel is about adrenochrome. In 2023, there was a personality in France named Gerard Faure. And he went on national television and he was talking about celebrities and he was talking about, you know, that there is something that celebrities are using to stay youthful. And he said it was adrenochrome. And that caused the media to go into meltdown because he even said that somebody like, for example, Celine Dion regularly consumes adrenochrome. And when Faure was asked, so where's this adrenochrome come from? He said, well, why don't you think of the third of the missing children in France? They're never found. Where do you think they go? What do you think they're being done? What's being done to them? And then, like I said, full meltdown. Oh, my God, you make an accusation like that. See, in most modern cultures, mass murder and human sacrifice still takes place out in the open under the cover of warfare. While many argue that cannibalism is also taking place behind closed doors. As I said, I've never been invited to one of those parties, but it's only in the past few hundred years that the practice of cannibalism among the royalty of the world has not been publicized. In Europe, around the time of the American Revolution, there was something called corpse medicine. It was very popular among the ruling class. Charles II even brewed his own ambrosia. Ambrosia. Yeah, that's the blood of the gods. One thing we rarely are taught at school is how the Royals in the olden days, we had Royals like James I refused corpse medicine. Charles II made his own corpse medicine. Charles I was made into corpse medicine. Along with Charles II, eminent users or prescribers included Francis I, Elizabeth I, John Bannister, her surgeon, Elizabeth Grey, Countess of Kent, Robert Boyle, Thomas Willis, William III, and Queen Mary. All drank corpse medicine made from the brains of corpses. Aside from the gruesome historical and occult background of such practices, there's, of course, a lack of data that suggests the process even works, whether or not it helps you. If it wasn't strange enough, the current royal family of England is claimed to have both the bloodlines of King David and the direct bloodline to Prince Vlad III of Wallachia, which, of course, is Count Dracula, which, of course, is the inspiration for Count Orlok in Nosferatu. Vlad Dracula, of course, 15th century prince, ruled in Wallachia, it's part of Romania. He was known as Vlad the Impaler because of his ruthless ways of killing his enemies. Vlad the Impaler, Vlad Tepish, was a member invested in the Order of the Dragon. The dragon was a symbol of power, serpentine symbol that many attribute to Satan. His coinage bore the dragon symbol. The dragon was the symbol of the devil, and consequently an alternate meaning of the Drac was the dragon. He was the son of the devil, the son of the dragon. He was a prince. He was placed in a place of great power. He drank the blood of the Muslims. Canada, believe it or not, just issued a King Charles III Year of the Snake gold coin. There's also a silver coin minted in Britain as well, as it commemorates 2025, the Year of the Snake. But we have King Charles' face on one side and snakes on the other. Coincidental references to reptiles and other creatures of magic, which, of course, this is part of the temptation. Remember the Garden of Eden and the snake and what it meant. Death and resurrection and the promise of death and the promise of someone to come and atone for the sins of mankind. And the vampire was there to destroy that opportunity in Judas Iscariot. Jesus was the blood sacrifice in order to atone for the sins of the world brought to us by that of the snake. And these are creatures of magic. The reptilian, the viper, the frog, all of these characters. And which brings us to something that I want to talk about too. And this is something that, again, I always tell people, timing is everything, right? About Elon Musk. Are we following what Elon Musk has been doing lately about this whole, I don't know how to put it. Keir Starmer. Do you know who he is? He's the labor leader in England. And Musk has been tearing into him about child sexual abuse, particularly a series of cases that, well, in Northern England, there was a group of men, largely from Pakistani backgrounds, were grooming kids. They're abusing dozens of girls. And, of course, the cases now are being used by far-right activists to link child abuse to immigration and to accuse politicians of covering up these grooming gangs out of fear of appearing racist. Well, Musk isn't going to take it. He's posted demand for a public inquiry into the cases. But if you look at this guy that he's going after, of course, this guy, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer, he actually was the guy who protected and defended Jimmy Savile, who was known to have raped and murdered some 700 children. But they were not able to raise anything against him until after they figured out, after he passed away, the friend of the royals was a Satanist, a vampire, just like Count Orlok. 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
Thank you.
I don't want to just, you know, drop a name and not explain about who Jimmy Savile was. I'm sure a lot of people know who Jimmy Savile was. I mean, he was a horrible person. In fact, he's the closest thing we have to Nosferatu, at least from my perspective. I mean, you can talk about your Epsteins, you can talk about your P. Diddy's, but Jimmy Savile was this guy. He had platinum hair. He looked weird. It was Keir Starmer, the guy that Musk is harassing right now. He was a UK labor leader at the time. He was in charge of CPS when they charged Savile and decided insufficient. It charged him with pedophilia and murder. And in fact, they said there was insufficient evidence. So Savile never really faced any justice in life. Jimmy Savile got away with abusing 500 children and having sex with some of their bodies, dead bodies. Jimmy Savile, of course, he had a weird face with sharp edges. He had a hooked nose, a jagged tooth grin, a boggle-eyed look, looked kind of crazy. He seemed almost like he wasn't a real person. He looked like Gollum from, you know, with blonde hair. And everybody said there was something off about him. They couldn't figure it out, but he was part of a BBC show called Jim'll Fix It. And what he did is he basically palled around with the royal family. He spent holidays with Margaret Thatcher's family. He was knighted not only by Queen Elizabeth, but by Pope John Paul II. And a lot of them forgave his eccentricity, saying, oh, it's just Jimmy. But the thing is that there were rumors. There were whispers that he wasn't everything he seemed. He was a sexual predator, had abused dozens of children. But those accusations never stuck. Not Jimmy Savile. He's the Fix-It Jim guy. Okay? Savile, according to a UK National Health Service investigation released a few years ago, stands accused, or at least stands with proof, as a prolific pedophile. The Health Service investigation only confirmed behavior described in several earlier probes since his death. In all, Savile is believed to have abused at least 500 girls and boys, some of them as young as 2, most between 13 and 15, as well as countless adults ranging up to 75 years old. If there was ever an example of a vampire, if there was any example of Nosferatu, Jimmy Savile is the man to look at. Let's go to Nick in Pennsylvania. Hey, Nick, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, quite a little way to start out 2025, huh?
Yeah.
But I want to see that new Nosferatu movie. And I wasn't going to say it, but when I saw the guy that directed it, I think his name is Chris Eggers, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that movie, Witch, which was like a really bare-bones movie, but it was really something.
Yeah.
And then he did another movie called The Lighthouse. But I want to see this one. I know the Werner Herzog did the remake back in the late 70s with Klaus Kinski. And then I don't know, about 20 years ago, there was one with the Wolf of the Fall. I forget what the name of it was, but it was based on Nosferatu. But he's in the new one, too, Wolf of the Fall. Anything he's in is good.
Yeah, Wolf of the Fall was in the movie about Murnau and how Max Schreck was allegedly a real vampire and that they hired him to play a vampire and that he was on this boat eating rats and nobody suspected, but he was attacking the female leads. It was an interesting take on Nosferatu. And there's also a movie called The Voyage of the Demeter, which talks about the ship that Dracula was on and how the crew people. Yeah, that was a great movie as well. So they are, but none of those movies, except for the recent Nosferatu, gives me the impression that, of course, Nock, who was this guy that was this lunatic that would bite heads off pigeons and bleed everywhere. It's just gross. And this guy's saying, he's coming, he's coming. And I have a feeling the idea of a powerful royal or a powerful count or a powerful dignitary in the global government is the Antichrist. And that's what they're saying. He's coming. You prepare for him. He will come for your family. He will come for your children. He will bring the plague. And these are the things we look at when we're trying to point out the modern vampire.
And like over in England, they've had a lot of characters like that Gary Glitter, that singer years ago.
Yeah, Gary Glitter.
He was involved in a big scandal. And then you had the Cray brothers. They were like organized crime over there. They had the dirt on all those people over there. That's why nothing ever happened to them. But they walked right into bars and actually killed people. And they had a man to put them away. But, you know, I think some of it is I think you're right, Clyde. They cover a lot of stuff up over there. But on the other hand, you know, a lot of times they just don't know about it.
Right.
Because like you said, these people got these big names, and they do all this stuff. But you mentioned over the summer, you briefly talked about, you know, the Olympics being in Paris and everything.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're trying to recreate the last century. It's the weirdest thing. And you know what all happened after World War I, the way everything led to World War II.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And it's almost like they're trying
well,
to recreate
the last
even the
closing
century.
Ceremonies in Paris gave us the idea of the golden – was the golden age idiom or the golden age idol, I guess the idolatry of the golden age, which was this character that had like gold coming out of him, and that was a representation of the Antichrist. That was a representation of the golden savior that will be brought to the earth in order to be accepted. And you're noticing that a lot of things are changing in government right now, and people are running scared, not just because of the power of Donald Trump and what he's about to do, but because of the power of other agents that are going to fight for the very life of this country and the very life of the world.
And you were talking about, like, Ozempic earlier. That woman, I don't want to go to the Globes, but they showed the news with that woman that she was like the master of ceremonies.
Yeah, Nikki
Glaser. She commented on Ozempic. You know what, Clyde, I realized something. When somebody's on Ozempic, you can tell, but they look unnatural. They're too thin.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's like they're just a natural one. They're like somebody.
They look emaciated. They look emaciated.
Right. I never saw anything like it. Right. And you were talking about that. I forget what you called it. Something that's in. I don't know. It's like the really rich people or
adrenochrome. Adrenochrome.
Yeah.
Well, here's something I want to ask you. Did you see? I just now drew a blank on her name. She's in the new Matlock.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy Bates. I was thinking Kathy Bates and I dropped it. Yeah, Kathy Bates. Did you see her in the Globes?
No.
She didn't look natural either. She lost a lot of weight and she looked old and she looked very sick.
Well, all you have to do is watch The View. Look all the way. A lot of every people lost The View. They're all emaciated.
Yeah. And you look at people like Celine Dion. She doesn't look good either. I mean, there are a lot of people that all of a sudden you don't see them for a while and they look horrible because of something. Either they're not getting their injections or they're dying. I mean, you know, getting old is one thing, but just the way they look, as you say, they look emaciated. They look like they're malnourished.
And the thing is about all that stuff, they don't know a lot about it yet. So, you know, there's been allegations that causes blindness, that Ozempic and all that stuff.
I didn't know about that.
They like it. And there's other countries, yeah, they're supposed for the side effects. Look how they pushed out all these drugs years ago. Mm-hmm. They pushed out Prozac to everybody. They pushed out Oxycontin. And then after all the damage is done, they sweep it all under the rug. And I think something's going to come out of this Ozempic. I hope I'm wrong, but it just seems like they get ahead of themselves. They make their money. They pay their little fines, and then they start something else new. It just never stops. And that one thing you need, what was it called, Macrona?
What's that?
That stuff you mentioned, Macrona, what was it called?
Adrenochrome.
God knows, if they can put that in the market and get away with it, I think they'd probably do it.
They probably would, you're right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, just look around you. I mean, there's evidence to show that we do have among us, I mean, psychotic criminals, psychopathic criminals, but what are they really? They're vampires. Seriously. And Nosferatu is the revelation of the method. I guarantee it. And it's the revelation of the method to welcome to the throne the Antichrist. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
Talk Radio, you'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Join me on a journey where getting lost is the only true destination. For the past, present, and future all coexist on the same timeline, where happiness is an illusion. This is the future we are in right now, where our phones are the first thing that we touch when we wake up, the last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant, seductive screens we so lovingly, endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're doing right now. All welcome to a future where our true reflection is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. The first broadcast of 2025, and wouldn't you know it, we're talking about reptilian vampires in the year of the snake. And I saw Nostradamus last night, actually, with my family. Very impressed with the film. I thought it was terrifying. Well, I don't think it's going to be everybody's taste, though, because it's very dark, it's foreboding, and a little slow in places, but still, it has its moments of treachery and depth, and I believe that, again, it's some revelation of the method being given to us that deals with the idea of the Antichrist coming to the throne, rising to the throne, the revelation of what is going on behind the scenes with bloodletting, children, adrenochrome, all these things coming to light, putting a light on the corners of darkness that are ignored and forgotten about. And we just talked about Jimmy Savile and how he is the epitome of a vampire. He is the well-known vampire that abused and sexually abused and ritualized 500 boys and girls and also had sex with the corpses. It was a very terrifying story. This man is probably the most likely to be similar to Nosferatu. But, of course, the metaphor is not lost on people as we see a lot of things happening in the real world that seem to be exploited in the movie Nosferatu, such as the vampire's arrival, the demon's arrival, the Lord Satan, the Antichrist, Count Orlok, Dracula, whatever you want to call him, shows up during the middle of a plague. Why? Because a plague will cover his tracks. He can suck the blood of the innocent without anyone knowing. They can always blame it on the plague. What they're using now, right? They're using plagues to hide their tracks. We just heard of the guy in Louisiana dying from bird flu. And now everybody's going to panic, I promise you. Let's go to Seth in Florida. Hey, Seth, you're on Ground Zero. Seth, go ahead. You're on Ground Zero.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I just wanted to mention something about Jimmy Savile. I mean, I don't know if he was necessarily a Nosferatu, definitely a gross figure. I always try to describe him to my American friends as like if Mr. Rogers was a pedophile. I guess that would be the
he wasn't
American
that nice.
Impact.
He wasn't that nice.
Yeah,
he was crazy.
No, but I mean, in terms of like an equivalent, for because I had friends that lived in England and Scotland that used to send letters to him and stuff like that. You know, Jimmy will fix it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I always thought he looked a little bit more like either the third Winter Brother or maybe Martin Short's character, Jackie Rogers Jr. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, he looked like a demon. He had the nose, pointy nose, pointy chin. He had big eyes, and he had platinum hair. He was just, he looked like some wild hippie, but it definitely had, he had something off about him, and people knew it, but they couldn't put their finger on it, and by the time he had died, they did an investigation finding out that he was responsible for that many abuses and deaths, and that, go ahead.
Yeah, I think he also molested, because he would volunteer at hospitals, and I think he would molest elderly patients and comatose patients and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, very sick man. Yeah, pretty disturbing. So, I mean, there's evidences of what I'd say psychopathic criminals among us, which, of course, are the equivalent of vampires, in my opinion. But, hey, thank you for sharing that about Saville. That's great. Carlos in California, you're on Ground Zero.
Happy New Year, Clyde.
Happy New Year.
You know, Saville was not the only one that was procuring all these kids for the royal family. There was a guy named Detroit in Belgium who was also known to procure kids for blood rituals for the elite.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they had a 300,000 people demonstration against this guy in Belgium. I think it was in Brussels. But nothing ever happened to the guy. They watched it over, and it seems coincidental that the Mother of Darkness Castle, where allegedly a lot of these blood rituals and blood drinking takes place,
mm-hmm.
is right there in Belgium, and it was owned at one time by King Philip, part of the royal family.
Yeah,
and the people that now own it, and you know. There's something about the 1,000 points of light there at that castle. And George Bush Sr. used to allude to the 1,000 points of light in his speeches.
Right.
So there you go, all these little connections. And the current owner of the, because they sold the castle, the Mother of Darkness Castle, that the current owner now is the one that produces the drug Prozac, which is used to cure psychopathology, but in reality, it creates a lot of deleterious effect on people that take it. I know
What do you think of Keir Starmer and what Elon Musk is doing to him? Because he's saying that he's looking away while these Pakistanis are grooming children for sex, and they say it's a racist issue. But apparently Starmer was there looking the other way when Jimmy Savile was committing his atrocities against children.
Well, you know, I'm not sure I understand your connection there.
What? Keir Starmer is being harassed by Elon Musk right now, being said, you need to take responsibility for this Pakistani grooming. They're saying that Pakistani immigrants are grooming young children and having sex with them. He says these sexual practices you need to look into and do something about it. And they're saying that Musk is being very, very racist when he does this. But it's not true because you look at Keir Starmer, who is the labor leader. He was in charge of the CPS at the time. Now, he was the guy that looked the other way when Jimmy Savile was being accused of all of his sexual crimes.
Well, they all protect each other, you know.
Right.
The bottom line, nothing ever happens to these people, you know.
Right.
Except Epstein, who was, of course, he was a scapegoat. They killed him at the cell.
What about Diddy?
You know, another thing that you were alluding to, the coming of the Antichrist, is the golden age. The image of gold.
Yeah.
And at the Notre Dame, they had a gold, a ritual around the golden phoenix.
Yes.
And Trump, I think, was wearing a golden tie.
The golden phoenix. The golden phoenix is another representation of the rising. It's a counterfeit imagination or reimagining of the resurrection, of course. But the phoenix is the rising bird of the new form of government, the new form of life, Heliopolis, and the arrival of the gods. 503-225-0860. We'll be back. What's the Keir Starmer controversy with Elon Musk? Now he's taunting Keir. Talk about what is called the grooming gangs of Pakistanis in England. But, of course, Keir Starmer's connection to Jimmy Savile is obvious. Again, another vampire amongst us, another Nosferatu-type character that abused children and had sex with corpses. But here's something about Elon Musk that's really interesting. And I got a message from, and since it's the year of the snake, and we just saw King Charles get his snake coin made, Ryan Gable sent me a message about Elon Musk. And this is something very interesting, and I want to share it with you before we get to the calls. Apparently, Elon Musk recently changed his handle on X to Kekius Maximus, which is a bizarre choice since, if you remember the Dr. Heldor show that we had in November during the Dr. Heldor sessions, Dr. Heldor warned us of the arrival of the frogs and snakes. And that is the Ogdoad, or the Ogdoad, okay? They were the Egyptian gods of the Darker Order, the Ogdoad. And we were talking about, I had no idea what the Ogdoad was. And Ryan Gable had called the program. Derek had called the program to mention what the Ogdoad was. They were four frog gods and four snake goddesses of chaos. Together they represented, well, infinity or providence, like spoken of in Nosferatu. The names of these frogs and snake gods were Nun and Nanet, Amun and Amunet, He and Hauhet, and of course, Kek, Kauket, which means the Lord or the darkness gods, okay? Now, Musk has named himself Kekius Maximus, Kek, okay, the dark frog god of darkness, Kek. Now, if you remember, Dr. Heldor said that the grinning man will die and that we need to look at the Ogdoad, that there will be something about the Ogdoad that we need to pay attention to. Kek comes from the Ogdoad. Kekius Maximus, or the dollar sign Kekius, is the name of a meme coin, which is a type of cryptocurrency with a name and mascot inspired by memes that were shared online of Pepe the Frog. Kek, Pepe the Frog, was used in what is called meme magic and has been deemed a symbol of hate by the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Anti-Defamation League. Now, there are a lot of online users of the symbol that say it's a simple image of a frog and there's nothing to the rumors. But the uncanny connection, Dr. Heldor said, the grinning man shall die. Carter died. And then we heard of this Kekius Maximus. The connections to the Ogdoad are what are troubling. Kek is the deification of the concept of primordial darkness, much like Nosferatu, much like the Antichrist. This is what Providence spoken of in Nosferatu with Rock, or his name was Nock. The divine intervention from the darkness. The idea of Kek rising, the idea of the snakes and the frogs coming forward, the plague of the frogs and the snakes. In 2004, it was reported that there was a time in Sicily so terrifying, residents of the area had to call exorcists in Rome to rid the area of vampires. They said they were being attacked by vampires. There was a place called Coronia on the north coast where electric wires inexplicably caught fire. Many homes caught fire in the area. And people who lived in the area reported seeing vampires coming out of portals. Portals opened up in this small town, and vampires were roaming the streets looking for victims. Fridges, cookers, televisions, washing machines, mobile telephones, and furniture burst into flame for no apparent reason at a dozen houses in the Sicilian village of Canonito di Coronia near Messina. Now, reading further about this, authorities suspected that the fires were caused by overhead cables on a nearby railway line, but the outbreaks continued even after the village electricity supply was cut off, leading some locals to blame supernatural forces. The villagers claimed that people that were dressed in black were coming out of portals. They're going door to door knocking and asking to inspect the wiring. However, the Italian Center for Electrotechnical Experimentation said that these so-called inspectors were not part of a group which sparked rumors of vampires. Catholic exorcists were brought in to bless the small village and the people who were terrorized by the arrival of these strange creatures. This sounds similar to another incident in the UK where people wearing all black went door-to-door posing as social workers and kidnapping children. They were never found, the children, by the way. So, initial difficulty in seeing the vampire as a symbol of the ruling class, capitalist or otherwise, lies in the distinct variations taken on by vampires in different places and times. So, I mean, as author Brian Frost said, the vampire is a polymorphic phenomenon with a host of disparate guises to its credit. Among the legendary guises of the vampire are astral vampires, psychic vampires, animal vampires, and real-life vampires who are sadistic criminals urged on by a physical craving for blood. I'm sure that psychopathic criminals, we said before, would be used today rather than calling them vampires. Because, as I said, you talk about vampires, people smile, they awkwardly move away and change the station to listen to more Journey. Anyway, 503-225-0860. I think we've got time for a call. Let's go to Arlen in Oregon. Hey, Arlen, you're on Ground Zero.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Love your show. Listen to it every night.
Thank you so much.
I just want to comment on that evil creature who went by the name of Jimmy Savile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This guy was big time. He hosted music shows back in the 60s and 70s, you know, Top of the Pops and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
In England, okay? Now, I know what an evil creature he was, but I never thought that he could be a vampire until you brought it up. And let me tell you, how is it that you see this guy on television and you're like, man, there's something wrong with that guy?
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that guy. He is just strange. He is just not – he's not – normal, okay? But then he's surrounded by all of these people, dignitaries, royalty, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How are they fooled?
They're not fooled. They're participating in it. That's the point.
Yes. For decades.
Yes.
Molested children.
Yes.
Did more disgusting, awful things.
Probably drank their blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had sex with the dead corpses, as Savile did. It was common for them to do that.
But how is it possible that he was surrounded by all these people that were intelligent and nobody said anything?
Well,
I just don't get it.
Why do people give in to vampires? Why do they give in to wars? Why do they give in to bloodshed? Why do they follow people that they know are bad for them and they don't give a damn about them?
See, and that's what... When you said that, I'm like, well, this is one of those, these are not the droids you're looking for things.
Right.
You know, he has influence over people that are directly in contact with him.
Yes.
And you know what? To tell you the truth, I'm not sure that he's actually dead.
That would be creepy if he wasn't dead, if they kept him and he kept doing this. And again, that would make him even more of a vampire if he was doing it to prolong his life and they kept him underground.
That's what I'm saying. And I never even connected that this guy could be a freaking vampire.
He looks like one, doesn't he?
And he mentioned it, and it just started clicking.
Yeah. Wow. How many other vampires like him exist in places of power today? Think about that for a moment.
Oh, my. I don't want to.
Think of the vampires that want to dim the sun. Why? So they can walk around among us without getting burned by the light of God? Is that what they're doing? Of course it is. Let's dim the sun now because we want to make sure that we can go out in public without worrying about getting blistered or dying.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I remember Martha Quinn.
Yeah, me too. She's beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah, Nina Blackwood was a lot of fun when I met her, too. She was really cool. Didn't meet any of the other DJs or VJs, but Nina Blackwood was very funny. I worked with her at another syndication place with Snoop Dogg, actually. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. We'll be back.
husband? I'm the new cat of Liver Merkey. Who are you?
Do you know the water of life? Then watch. The mystery of mysteries. The end.
Stuff makes pure mescaline seem like ginger beer, man. Adrenochrome.
Adrenochrome?
Chilling show of 2025. Get ready for the year of the snake, the reptile, the vampire. Yes, they exist, and they exist among us. And I would think that the minions of these vampiric minions are part of the group that wants to bring the Antichrist to the throne. So I see this in the revelation of the method known as the movie Nosferatu. If you want to go see it, you'll see what I mean, because it certainly sounds as if this is the plot or the idea to bring some powerful person to the throne in order to call them the great leader, the great golden age leader. Scary to think about. Dolly in South Carolina, you're on Ground Zero. Dolly, go ahead.
Hi, how are you tonight, Claude?
Good, go ahead.
All right. I've been on your show before.
Okay.
And I was the lady that called in before when you were talking about spirits and communing with them, mm-hmm. if you remember.
Yeah.
And you got talking about having that dream. Well, I have dreams, premonition dreams, and they've never been wrong. And for the past 2 years, I have been dreaming about all of this coming into play with the apocalypse and the coming of the Antichrist and all of that.
Yeah.
And it's like almost an every night occurrence for the past over 2 years now, so
right.
I knew all of this was coming.
Right.
And not only that, vampires are real. I was one in the 16th century.
So you had a past life as a vampire?
Yes.
Wow. How did you know that? Did you?
My mate, actually, I tried to leave him, and he held me down in a fire, and we both burned, and that's how I died.
Wow.
And then in this life, I was born anemic, so I have low blood, so I'm constantly fighting with that. Because when my hemoglobin bottoms out, all I do is crave the taste of that blood. So I get rare.
How you get rare? Do you eat rare meat? Drink liver? Puree liver? What do you do?
I like, you know, I'll eat like steak and stuff like that and cook it rare and stuff until my hemoglobin comes back up.
Do you eat raw hamburger?
No, I don't.
Okay.
My mom does.
Yeah, there's some people that will eat raw hamburger.
About that.
They'll eat raw hamburger. Some people puree a liver, a beef liver.
Yep.
To try and supplant the iron. So I understand. Do you have Pyphoria?
Yes.
Okay, that's why I was wondering. That's why you don't go out in the sun much, right?
Yep. If I go out in the sun, it don't take long, and I'll burn so badly. So bad.
Well,
like,
Dolly,
I'm pale as a ghost.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry to hear that you have. I knew somebody that had that, and they blister the minute they go into the sun. It was horrible, and they had to have iron supplements all the time. In fact, I'm anemic a little too, so I have to get iron supplements. But sometimes I only had one transfusion in my life, and that was about it. But Dolly, I understand, and my God, what an interesting life you lead. That's amazing. Let's go to Derek in Massachusetts. Hey, Derek, what's up?
Hey, Clyde. Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'll be real quick, but you're talking about vampires and energy vampires, emotional vampires and stuff. Yeah. And I just want to throw out the idea that what if Earth potentially is kind of like a giant farm, like a loose farm for energy vampire archons or whatever?
Yeah, that's what they the idea of drinking loosh, which is the idea of like the spirit. It's like Dr. Sleep. Remember that show?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Monsters, Inc., like a psychic adrenochrome.
Basically. Yeah,
like
Monsters, Inc., they had to scare the kids because they needed to drink off their tension.
Exactly. Robert Monroe coined it, from the Monroe Institute. But it's a psychic, emotional, chemical energy that's emitted by people who are suffering. So basically, and it's addictive for people. So people do it to each other, but it's the reason why people like porn and horror movies and the constant nagging about unpaid bills and deadlines and... People are seduced by things that get each other's loosh, but also we're being, drained of our loosh on, a giant matrix scale, basically.
Right.
Rather than being drained for electricity, we're being drained for this kind of fear, emotional toxin that the elites get. And I don't know, it's really...
Yeah, I saw the word loosh, and I was wondering... I had never heard the word loosh before, and then I realized what it was. It's exactly the idea of taking the tension and sucking it from you. It's gaslighting you, traumatizing you, and making you feel horrible because that is what you emit. You emit loosh, and it gives these vampires, whether it be psychic vampires, astral vampires, or just vampires that wish to suck on your tension and on your drama. That's exactly what it is, and it's terrifying to think that they exist, and they do exist, obviously, because there are people out there that'll do that to you.
On a mass cultural scale, this is the reason why the news and the fear porn and our news feed and the algorithms driving us to hate each other and be scared and stuff. It's because we're being farmed for our loosh, like the Matrix and stuff.
Wow.
It's really wild. It's just a great show.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, think about that, how, we have been traumatized a lot lately, what they call the poly crisis. That's what they call it with the World Economic Forum. We need the poly crisis in order to get a footing into convincing people that we need to dim the sun, that we need climate a heavy footing on climate. We need to be able to do this. We want to be able to take over. We want to be able to control the weather. We want to be able to control humankind. And we'll do everything to scare them into believing that we're the ones that only have the control over life and death. It's anti-life. It's anti-Christ. It's a metaphor for Nosferatu. I hope I've made my point. I think I've made my point. Because I just, like I said, it's just one big revelation of the method. I mean, think of the things that they've done to us to have us sympathize with the vampire. Twilight, the movie Twilight, sympathizing with the pariah vampire who's not understood. Or how about the idea that we have a puppet? I am the Count. I love to count things. One wonderful child. Or Count Chocula. There's a breakfast cereal that shows a guy pouring blood on his cereal. Count Chocula. My God. Does it take 500 years to make us sympathetic to the vampires? Of course, because they want us to care about them. You can think about that in 2025. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. Zero Let's go to John in Utah. Hey, John, you're on Ground Zero. John in Utah, you're on Ground Zero. Okay, let's put him on hold. See where he is. You there, John?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, go ahead. You're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, I was just going to say, these vampires got everything under control. I mean, we must be complete idiots to think that Epstein was murdered and present. He's still alive somewhere on an island. PDD's on an island somewhere. These are actors in jail. They have the art of deception. They know how to control the masses to a science. And they all have to answer to somebody. When these Illuminatis piss off the wrong Illuminati, then they have to do this to one of their players, you see? And so, I mean, Elon Musk is kind of setting up to be one of the Antichrist predictions because, I mean, if you look how he stops and thinks, I think he's already put the chip in his own head.
Well, a lot of people think he's kind of like an alien, but it's because he's autistic to a certain degree.
Shutting down. Yeah.
He's got Asperger's, I think. I think he's got Asperger's. He's got a form of autism where he's a genius savant, I think. That's why he's the way he is, because he thinks of a lot of things and he does a lot of things, and that's why he's unpredictable. That's why people don't know how to deal with him, because he's just constantly thinking of new things. His brain is just constantly on, and that's the point. Anyway, I see you hung up. I'm sorry about that. I didn't know you hung up. I was talking with you. Anyway, let's go to Richard in Connecticut. Hey, Richard, you're on Ground Zero.
Good evening.
Hi.
This is the third time I've heard you mention the movie The Mist within a couple of weeks. And I wanted to mention one of my favorite low-budget movies. I thought it was high quality. And I also wanted to ask you if you're familiar with The Prince of Darkness
of
by
course.
John Carpenter.
Of course I am. It's one of the movies when I was doing my B-horror fanzine, they gave us exclusive theaters to watch that. Alice Cooper was in it, and it was, I mean, the whole sequence of the dark figure in the church, I thought was very creepy.
Oh, it was an excellent movie.
Yes,
and,
it was.
Also, it just fits in with the, you know, the subject of the church being secretive and having vaults of supposed hidden knowledge that they won't grant to anybody, and it's even kept closed among themselves. Only certain groups know.
Well, also, you need to keep in mind that the coincidence of the opening of the doors that the Pope did happened, and the fog then came, which in The Mist, what is it about that? Is that the Project Arrowhead, they actually opened a portal, and the fog got in, and so did the monsters.
Yeah, well, they didn't know what was coming, but no. the whole point of that movie, though, if you think about the end, is it you really trust the government to clean up their mess?
No, it was a very depressing ending. I think it's different than what Stephen King had envisioned, but he said he went with it because he said it was the only way to end it. It was very tragic, the film.
Yeah, I really had a hard time with that, too.
Yeah, so did I. It was very, I mean, just the idea of his losing his mind. After it all, I would too, after everything they went through. And that's exactly why I love The Mist. It's a great film. And I thank you for reminding me of that movie. Let's go to Brando in Pennsylvania. Hey, Brando, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, saving the best for last. Happy New Year. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to touch on something. The Golden Toad gets certified today, aka Donald Trump. And then Justin Trudeau steps down.
So you're calling him the Golden Toad. Are you thinking, though? I mean, do you remember when Dr. Heldor talked about Abraxas? I think he's Abraxas.
Yes.
I think that when she talked about all hail Abraxas, the warrior with the cock's head, I think she was talking about him because she said that he had a kind of a blonde top to the cock's head, she said. And it was kind of, I figured, yeah, it's Donald Trump. He's going to win the election.
Well, and it's just interesting that Trudeau stepped down today.
Yes. After meeting with Donald Trump.
Yep.
What did he say to him?
Some sort of connection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what he said to him.
There has to be some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. So, he said something to him that probably put the fear of God into him. And that's why he resigned.
It's just interesting connections. Clyde, Happy New Year, and God bless you, and God bless your team.
Thank you for your call. It was an amazing call. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Great call. Trudeau resign today. I heard that he was going to resign, and he did after meeting with Donald Trump. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Let's go to Chris in New York. Hey, Chris, you're on Ground Zero.
Yeah, I think the Clockwork Orange did have the mention of the word adrenochrome, which I don't think it was in the zeitgeist back then, really, but now it seems like a craze that's kind of gone wild. But it seems like these people do shapeshift mentally, at least, in terms of they can compartmentalize this, do this stuff, and then get on a TV show or whatever, be a public face. So that's a little strange. And then when you see people sicking mosquitoes, genetically modified, et cetera, or some of these new lights that they have.
Well, have you noticed that now we have shows that have us sympathizing with serial killers? We sympathize with killers like Dexter. A new Dexter's come out. I mean, I'm a fan of Dexter. I watched Dexter. In fact, this new Dexter that came out is kind of interesting. It's him at a young age. And what he does is when he's young, before he starts, you know, being Dexter. But, yeah, the idea of sympathizing with killers, the idea of sympathizing with bloodsuckers, the idea of sympathizing with vampires. I mean, this is definitely a programming situation so that when we get older, we accept it, or that the generations start accepting it. It's like being trans. You know, it's like, we accept you. You're a bloodsucker. Great. Okay. And we accept it as a lifestyle. It's just something that, you know, what next? You go from the transgender to transmogrification to trans vampirism. It's something that, I mean, when you have people who sit up and stand up for the idea of mutilating a child and doing it when it is a eugenics thing where they're mutilating a child, you're basically rendering a child sterile, I think that we should really think about what that is. That's vampirism. That's horrible. That's damaging a person. It's a eugenics directive that people stand behind, and I don't know why they stand behind it, because it's gruesome, it's horrible, it's ugly, and if people knew that it was eugenics, it was part of the eugenics agenda, part of this vampiric agenda, they wouldn't get behind it at all.
Well, you're exactly right, Clyde. It's definitely really what's going on specifically. It's vampirism.
Yeah. It's vampirism.
That's what it is.
Modern-day vampirism. You're right. I appreciate the call. Yeah, it's exactly what it is, and that was my point of the show tonight. I hope that, you know, there's a lot of legendary guises of vampires. We've talked about a lot of the different vampires, the psychopathic criminals, as I said. But you know, we're supposed to think that vampires don't exist. Metaphorically, we know what they are, and we see them getting honorariums. For example, what, the Medal of Freedom was given to Hillary Clinton and George Soros? Did you see this? Soros has been considered one of the most evil men on the planet. If you remember how Hillary Clinton's "what difference does it make" attitude towards the soldiers who died in Benghazi, come on, man, it's a kick in the teeth. It seals the deal of just how we honor vampires and bloodletters in this world. Ephesians says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritually wicked in high places." Remember that scripture, because in 2025, it's going to apply, as will the vampire metaphor, a creature of the night that takes shortcuts in order to obtain immortality. Today, the secular world, they don't really need a Satan now. They've got groomers and blighted pariahs that hide in the shadows that are truly psychopathic bloodsuckers. They can be voted into power, and they can raise armies against you. Remember, everyone, keep your mind where they can't get it in 2025. You keep it at Ground Zero. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Good night.